You're listening to Errol Parker and Clancy Overall, editors of the Batuta Advocate on Desert Rock FM.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another week of the Batuta Advocate radio show here on Desert Rock FM. We're coming to you live from the Koala Mattress Studios here on Daru Street in downtown Batuta. My name is Errol Parker, and with me in the booth today is my fellow editor, Clancy Overall.
Yes, hello, Errol, and hello, everyone listening today. We've got an interesting show coming up. It's been a big week in town with the Batuta races taking place over the weekend.
It certainly has been, Clance, and probably worth a quick thank you to the people at Koala Mattresses for doing us a solid and sending us a few extra beds to house all those grey nomad relatives we had coming through. Every house and shed in town was packed to the rafters with hundreds of campers out there on the racetrack near the flat.
Yes, thank you to Koala for that. And the results from the big day are as follows. In the first race, Michael Hegney rode home Bells and Bows. In the second, David Rewald got the chocolates with a pony called No Other Way. The next race, race number three, Todd Austin trained the winner called Eye Stopper. And in race four, Bush Caviar got across the line by about three horse lengths to cheers from the bar. And in the big one, the Batuta Advocate Cup, Tamworth trained Husanique stormed home to win before She Sharp won the last race of the day and saved my ass. Now, obviously, there has been a fair bit going on down in the capital over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's a bit of an understatement there, Clancy. It's been an absolute shit show.
A bin fire, Errol, you could say. However, our listeners would be more interested in the events that happened in our town and the hordes of people that descended upon the Diamantina Shire for the Batuta races, the first event of the famous Simpson Desert Race Carnival. I'm not going to worry too much about the leadership stuff, and I'm going to bring you some interviews with people who were in Batuta for the races.
That's right. In this week's show, we speak to David Littleproud, our local Member of Parliament, and the iconic Fred Brophy.
And for those of you who don't know Fred Brophy, he is a fourth-generation tent boxing showman who brings his stable of fighters to towns throughout our regional and metropolitan Queensland. To explain it simply, he brings his troop of boxers to bush towns and organises and referees fights between his blokes and the locals.
Yes, he always puts on a show, Clancy. Anyway, let's get into it. First up, here's our chat with David Littleproud. Now, just keep in mind, we did record this outside in the breeze in the middle of a race, mate, so you might need to turn this one up a little bit. Anyway, here's David.
Well, here we are at the Batuta races. There's a lot of fanfare, a lot of action, a lot of outfits.
Lots of yelling.
Lots of yelling. Got an auction going behind us. And we've been joined by the local member, David Littleproud. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, mate. Great to be here. I've been actually labelled the member for Batuta by the Prime Minister when we launched your book, actually, memory, rather than the member for Maranoa. So
yeah.
I took that proudly.
Well, you know, it's a diverse electorate you have, and obviously Batuta in itself is another world, but also, you know, almost like a micro electorate, and it requires a lot of your attention.
Well, it does, and you guys being my biggest media outlet in my electorate, I have to come back. It's like going to the knees of Rupert Murdoch, making sure that I've got you guys happy with the world. So good to be back in your hometown and make sure I showed the respect I should.
So, David, been a big week. As a Nat, how was it like to watch the nation implode from the sidelines?
Yeah, mate, it was tough. Yeah. It was tough. It was wake us up when you're ready to come and talk to us.
Yep.
Pretty long week, brother. But anyway, we got through it. And you know what? We'll try and go hard now.
So are you still the Ag Minister under the Morrison government?
Don't know yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Mr. Morrison, the Prime Minister, will be up to him to make that call, and I will hear from him in the next couple of days, no doubt. But if not, I get to stay the member for Batuta or the member for Maranoa. So I've got the best job in Australia either way.
Yep. There you go.
So tell us a little bit about the Night of the Long Knives. What actually went down? What were the Nats saying? Were you told to just, McCormack just said, all of you lot shut up, stay at home, let these guys sort it out themselves?
No, look, we normally have, most nights we go to the Kingo, we have a few beers, we have a steak, we think about our younger days. Didn't think about it at all, turned up the next day and was all on, so no need for discipline in the National Party. We've got it under control from the get-go when we go to Canberra, Kingo Hotel, and back into Parliament the next morning.
So what is the thoughts? Do you think for the National Party they see much difference between a incredibly wealthy Prime Minister from the eastern suburbs of Sydney compared to an incredibly wealthy
Prime Minister from the southern suburbs of Cronulla?
Oh, look, I think we obviously respect our coalition partners and their decisions that they make, but we're very transactional in the Nats. We're from the bush. We know how to do a deal, so we've had a talk to them about our expectations, delivering for people of Batuta, make sure that you know, the Batuta Dolphins have got a proper field to play on. So we'll continue to have that conversation with them, and no matter who the Libs put up, we'll try and work with them and get a best deal we possibly can for the people of the bush.
Now, out here, a lot of people have spent most of the time at the racetrack over the last couple of days. Most of them without reception at this part of Batuta, actually. This is on the outskirts, kind of the city limits of Batuta. The more metropolitan areas in town, obviously, you know, we don't have the NBN, but we are all right for telephone reception and 4G at least. A lot of people out here probably don't even know the Prime Minister's changed. And do you think they will notice a change at all if they never learn the name of the Prime Minister that currently sits?
Well, actually, I was just talking to a bloke at the bar who just told me he didn't know until this morning. He was sitting around a campfire that someone had told him. The reality is I hope they don't notice, because, you know what, government shouldn't be in people's lives. We should get the hell out of your life and just make sure that we give you the best opportunities and stay out of it and get out of your way so you can go and make a quid. That's what we want Australian people to do, and people in Batuta to be able to do. So with a bit of luck, they won't notice. We'll get on with the job of governing and do it properly.
We received word from Batuta United Brewers, hoping to get those tax cuts across the line for, of course, Batuta Bitter. I'm sure it's something you're joining the more metropolitan suburbs of Brisbane and Sydney in backing.
Oh, definitely. Look, reform of this, that part of the Taxation Act is imperative for key brewers like yourselves. And a good drop nonetheless, I would say. Coming back, using Diamantino bore water to be able to, the secret ingredient, so important and unique. So it's important we get these Australian products out there. And healthy consumption of beer in the right quantities is always something that we as Australians have done so well.
So it's been a big year for the Nats themselves. We can kind of point fingers at the Liberals and everything that's happening there. But you guys are kind of in the calm after the storm, you know. How is things going? Is everyone getting along? Is everyone playing nice?
We always play nice in the Nats. We have our spits in the party room. We don't knife in the back. We go full frontal. We have a great party room. We've got a bar fridge in the party room. We have a beer and a yarn, and if we've got a blue, we'll have it on in there. So look, we're settled.
A little less WhatsApp, a little less wicker.
Yeah, exactly. And look, it's good. Michael's doing a good job. BJ's back to his old self. The Nats are back. Are back, and we're the adults in the room, and that's a good thing. And you want that. We want someone inside the tent, not outside the tent, screaming and saying, we want to be a professional complaints desk. You want someone inside the room that make the calls and has access to the checkbook. And the Nats have got access to the checkbook, and we're going to make sure we splash a bit out in the bush.
So has old Barnaby, has he been helping you with the transition of going from a backbencher to being the Ag Minister? Has he given you any pointers?
Yeah, look, BJ appointed me as the Ag Minister when he went into infrastructure, so I'm forever indebted for BJ to take a punt on me. And look, he's a force of nature, BJ.
Yeah.
Absolute force of nature, and he gives plenty of advice, all on a professional level, and that's the advice I take on a professional level.
On a professional level?
Yeah.
Mr. Little Proud, we're wondering, on a direct change of subject, what are the Nats thinking of running someone in the seat of Wentworth in the upcoming election?
Well, nothing's out of the question. You know, the Nats would probably resonate with the good people of Wentworth.
Mm-hmm.
We're a party that looks after the little
organic
people. Yeah, organic. Yeah.
Well, you know, you
very much so.
You probably have a lot, like a whole heap of landowners down there in Wentworth, wouldn't you?
Oh, look, definitely.
They're crying about these dry times on their boats, aren't they?
I said, Oh, exactly. And look, I think the Libs are obviously a little concerned if the Nats did run in Wentworth.
Yeah.
So part of the coalition agreement may be that we actually have to get that one nutted out. We may have to leave the Libs to the Wentworth, but it's on our radar. Wentworth is definitely one that we think we could pull away from the Libs.
Well, what's got your goat right now, Little Proud? We saw you on Q&A the other night. You were Kumbaya, that was a good one. Yeah. We enjoyed watching that. What's really got you going? What are you fuming about right now?
Well, you know, we got, and this is the legacy of Barnaby. We put $2.5 billion on the table to build dams, to actually go out and put graders out there to dig holes to get water to make sure that agriculture can boom. And we got state governments that are scared to do it. And they got to get on the journey, because mate, if we can get water out to the bush, we're going to make a quid for this country. This is the economic engine room of this nation, right here. And people in the city need to get off their rear end, get out here, support us, and understand that if you let us be the custodians of the land that we are the greatest environmental custodians of this land anyone has ever been, has anywhere, because the reality is our profit and loss tied to the environment. So they've got to get out of our way. Let us get on with the job of building dams, getting water to these great places like Batuta, and let us make a quid, because it'll help them. It'll help them in the cities, and we'll feed them with the best food and fibre in the world.
So why did they host that Q&A drought special in Lismore?
Yeah, good question. Now, you better ask ABC about that one. I don't think they understand where the bush is and where it starts and where it finishes.
They kind of put you on the spot there with all those Northern Rivers kind of dreadlock types in the crowd. They were giving it to you.
There was a couple from Nimbin that didn't like me. Yeah, I appreciate that. I'm probably not going to resonate in Nimbin.
Hey, they're farmers.
Yeah, they're organic farmers. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us, Little Brad. Let's get back in there. We've got some money to lose. He's got a plane to catch. Thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, boys.
See you next races.
Yeah. Thank you, boys.
And that was the member for Maranoa, David Littleproud, who's also the agricultural minister, the first elected Nationals MP of Native American background.
Yes, son of the great Sir Joe Minister Bruce Littleproud, a former boss of mine during my dark days as a political staffer.
Yes, he was in fine form out there at the racetrack, given the week he'd had.
Yes, he was. What a bin fire. And good to get some perspective from our Nationals representative. And now for our chat with Fred Brophy, the last showman. Fred pulled into Batuta over the weekend for a catch-up. He didn't actually pitch the tent. He was just there for a bit of a punt and a bit of a drink to treat his fighters and the troop that travels with him. And he was actually on his way through to Birdsville, where he was pitching a tent, his iconic boxing tent, and challenging anyone who was game to fight one of his fighters. Well, here we are with the last showman, Fred Brophy. Runs a boxing troupe. Queensland Territory?
Well, I go to other states too. Yeah. I go to, Northern Territory, Western Australia, South Australia, where all those lovely politicians are down in Canberra. Yeah. I go down there, but I haven't been down there for a while because none of them are worth talking to. Mm.
They keep changing.
Well, they keep changing all the time. You go there like every 6 months and there's someone else you got to see, you know. So we don't worry about that anymore. We don't go to Victoria and New South Wales. I was the last boxing tent to work there about 38 years ago. That was in Lithgow in New South Wales and Castleton, Victoria. I don't go there anymore because of the politicians and the bureaucrats. They want me to change this boxing tent to suit them. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I'm not going to do it.
What kind of changes they want? Mouth guards?
No, they just want a ring.
Oh, right.
All the people of the ring.
Yeah.
This is what we used to do 100 years ago. Why change it for politicians? This belongs to everyone in Australia, and I'm going to change it for anyone. I'm just a figurehead. So if you want to see it from down there, you're going to have to come up here to Queensland. A lot of people come to the Birdsville races to see the boxing tent because you can't see it down there in Victoria, New South Wales. The government's taken all the Australian things away from people. Mm. They've taken all the railways away from the people. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous, the whole thing.
So yeah, how long have you been doing this, Fred?
All my life.
Yeah?
Yeah. Right. I was born into it. But this is what I wanted to do, you know. I've never wanted to do anything else.
Yeah.
How many generations?
Four. Yeah.
Of showman?
Yeah. No, what?
All boxing?
All boxing and a bit of striptease.
All right.
A bit of a headless girl, the Siamese twins, the tattooed pig.
You did all that?
The snake show. All that sort of stuff, yeah.
So who's in the stable here in Batuta?
Who
we got here?
Well, there's a Chinaman down there. He's the chopsticks. There he is down there. That's the Chinaman chopsticks.
Yep.
He's here. These are all retired fighters over here.
You can see.
Yeah.
I got a wrestler. Where's that wrestler? There he is over there, Phil. He's a wrestler. Mask Marble. He's not here because we got to put a mask on his head because they've told me because he's ugly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I saw him walking off with a girl somewhere. I don't know.
Well, every now and then he gets one because they feel sorry for him. Yeah, but anyway, he's here. Oh, and the boys, they come in later on. We got to go and put the tent up for them, so they come in later on.
Chopsticks, you're telling me Chopsticks had some... What was he...
Come over and tell him, Chopsticks.
Chopsticks has got some good numbers, is what we're hearing.
Well, come out here, Chopsticks. Tell him about it.
Been on the road for about 4 or 5 weeks. Had 9 fights. Won them all. Yeah, just
nine in a row?
Oh, there's been like a break, 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
2 weeks, a week. Just helping to set the tent up, just having the time of my life, eh?
Yeah. How long have you been with Fred for?
I've been fighting for Fred for 7 years.
Yeah.
My first fight was actually his 60th birthday.
Right.
And yeah, rest is history, as they say.
Yeah. Where do you find these fellas?
Well, they find me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of... I've had, you know, generations of fighters as well.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know you'd love to have a fight in the tent, wouldn't you, to say you've had a fight?
Love a stink. Love a stink. Get to be quiet in Batuta.
Well, that's why I'm here in Batuta, see. But I picked a few fighters up from around Batuta in the old days.
Yeah.
A few ringers from Mount Leonard Station out here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, they were actually blokes from Mount Leonard there. Chook sends them into to Birdsville races every year to have a fight.
Blow off a bit of steam.
Oh, well, he does, you know, because he brings them in personally and they all get up and have a fight down there. And most of the ringers around here in Raysburg Station and that, you know, Jeff Morton and that, they all send their ringers into, you know, they've got to prove themselves.
Yeah.
So if they can go 3 rounds in the tent, well, they can go 3 rounds with a bull.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but it's easier to go 3 rounds in the tent than 3 rounds with a bull.
Yeah.
So they just test them out, see? Yeah. That makes them tough. And you got the Sheilas too, the Sheilas come in.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Ringettes, they come in.
Ringettes.
Yeah, the Ringettes, and because I've got a few Sheilas too. I've got the Beaver.
Yeah.
She's got ears and her legs and a spear of rat. She's pretty tough. She comes from King's Cross. That's where the women are tough and the men are pretty.
Mm-hmm.
She's out here again this year.
Right.
Got a bit of bulldust over and that. She just be coming down from the Gulf of Carpentaria, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Been up there, you know, just doing a bit of ringing and that. Actually, her husband's here. She had a couple of babies to one of me fighters here. Where is he? Nolly.
Noel.
Noel, see, that's her father of two of the babies, you know. So every now and then she wants a baby, he gives her one.
Yeah. For a fight.
Yeah.
So where's everyone based most of the time?
All around Australia.
All around. So they just jump on as you go through it?
Well, they do. We got people here from Brisbane here. Noel and Carl come from Brisbane.
Got the lawyers.
Yeah, well, they come from Bundaberg.
Yeah.
Big Jack here, he's from Emerald.
Yeah.
He's an ex-fighter, and that he trained the heavyweight champion of Australia, actually, Colin Wilson. He'll be out here this year, Colin. He'll be at Birdsville this year. Well, he's an ex-fighter. His wife used to be a wrestler. She's over there. Oh, we got the Phantom. He's in charge of the Wynnum Manly Leagues Club down there. He's
good club. Good club. Yeah. Wally had a season out there.
Yeah, we'll be down there this year. Who else have we got here? Ed Weller. She's our solicitor over there. She's in the fashion of the field. She usually wins it here every year.
Do you put these guys to work, this legal team?
They all do. Yeah. Oh, well, we've been pretty quiet lately, haven't we? Because we have nothing to worry about.
Yeah. No defamation suits, nothing?
No.
Scott
no.
Morrison?
No. It's all right because... my other book's coming out soon. We're going to do a few things.
Oh, yeah, part two.
Part two, yeah. Well, this one's going to be rated R, this one.
All right.
Yeah. This is rated R.
This is the last showman after dark.
Well, this one's very, very rated R because they cut a lot out. Actually, I didn't cut it out. Me barristers cut it out.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Look, there's the Masked Marble. There he is. There, look. There he is there.
He's got a bit of spring in his step, actually.
Yes, well, he's the Masked Marble. He just breaks their arms and their sockets and everything.
That's me, mate.
Yes, and we've got a mask on him because I've been in... Because he used to be in the French Foreign Legion, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
He had a big beard.
Right.
And he's going through the desert on a camel, and he's lighting a cigarette, and his beard caught a light. So the sergeant put it out with a shovel.
You poor thing.
And he had ended up with all over him. So he got disfigured. So I've been informed by the authorities because he's got an ugly head. So we put a mask on him when he fights so he doesn't frighten the crowd. Because back at Witten, he had a mask on. Before that's a new one, he had another one. And this bloke accidentally pulled his mask off and 3 ladies in the crowd fainted.
Ooh.
They seen his face. So now he's got that on.
Maybe it's because I found him so charming.
He can't talk. He's got half a tongue. Can't talk.
Now, Fred, do you find it a bit therapeutic with these young fellas? You pick them up and they, well, at least the blokes that challenge. Is it a good way for them to kind of, you know...
Well, mate, it's on their bucket list, mate. If you're a fan of Australian, it does take a good... Like, if we're up on the board, we're there to challenge anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the old days, the old boxing tents, they had their own fighters in the crowd. We've never done that and never will. This is fair dinkum. You pay your money to get in and you see exactly what you're going to see. Now, if a bloke gets up that ladder to fight one of my blacks, he's got a bit of guts, you know. He's a fair dinkum Australian. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know who he's going to, like, he doesn't know who he's going to fight for a start. And then when we match him up, and it takes a man like our blokes up there to fight the blokes as well. Mm-hmm. So that's what you call 100% Australian. There's nothing more tougher than, unless you go to war for Australia, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing tougher than that if you go and fight for your country. But to get up there on that board and fight someone, mate, that's a fair dinkum Australian. That's where we get that good, solid Australian from. Yeah.
Do you ever find some people think they might be a bit tougher than they are because of the run?
No, we don't let them fight if they're no, we don't let them fight.
So you got a kind of inbuilt breathalyser on, and you can figure out.
No, they've got to walk the plank.
All right.
And if they've had, we don't mind if they've had one, you know, one or two, but if they're up, you know, we've got blokes down on the board, these blokes are down the bottom there, and if they've had too much to drink, we don't let them up anyway, you know, so. Of course, they try to get up, we don't. No, we're not there. It just wouldn't be fair. Mm. You know, my blokes are all sober. Until I turn my head, and they might have a couple themselves, you know, but that's their business, as long as they don't know about it.
Got to hydrate.
Well, you know, a few of them do. He doesn't drink, this bloke here.
Yeah, right.
He drinks Chinese tea.
Right.
But the rest of them, they just, whatever they get their hands on. Yeah.
So what else has been happening? Like, have you had any fighters come through that have just, like, what's the longest career you've had out of one of your fighters?
Well, this one's still fighting now, the heavyweight champion of Australia, Colin Wilson. Yeah. He'll be fighting at, he'll be at Birdsville.
Yeah.
Wednesday, yeah, we've had Steve Axel. He's another old big heavyweight champion. He's fought a few times in the 10. He won't be out there this year, but we've got quite a few, eh? Jeff White and bloody all those sort of blokes fought in the tent, you know.
The young Mauler.
Oh, the friendly Mauler.
Yeah,
we've got Colby Johnson. He's a pro fighter. He'll be out here this year, and his grandfather was Bronco Johnson. He used to fight in the mines. Mm-hmm. He was one of Australia's toughest fighters, and then his son. That's three generations of me, Tandy. His son was the friendly Mauler. Every time you hit him, you get real friendly with you. Well, he'll be out here at Birdsville, and his son will be out here at Birdsville, so there's three generations, see? So it's just sort of, yeah, it's still going.
Now, Fred, in your book, The Last Showman, you're talking about when you became a bit of a digit showman.
A what?
You lost a digit there.
A finger?
Yeah.
Which one?
The honourable member.
That one?
Yeah.
Or this one?
Yeah, what happened there?
Well, you'll have to read the book.
Read the book?
Yeah.
That's it. That's a teaser. He's not telling us. You got a good photo of him last night, wrapped around a can.
Yeah. Well, there you are, see?
Yeah. So what's going on? You've got a...
We're socialising here, and that is a great place. You know, this Batuta Races, well, you know, this is where you found the newspaper here. This is where your office is here, the Batuta Advocate, and it's a great newspaper. You're out here in the middle of Australia. This is the heart of Australia, Batuta. That's why we come to the races here, because this is used to be like the Birdsville races used to be like. But Birdsville races have got a lot bigger, so as the Baduri races and that. So, but Batuta, this is what it used to be like. And this is the last really old-fashioned race meeting in Australia, as far as I'm concerned. Like Birdsville is too, but just sort of a lot of people there. This is just comfortable. We get about 1,000 people here, and that's lovely. Yeah. And they're all enjoying themselves, you know. There's people out here with the same hats on and the same dress on, same shoes on, that was here about 40 years ago, 35 years ago. And they're in the fashions of the fields too.
Yeah.
And the people are great out here, and all the horse trainers, they bring their horses out here, and it's just a real great day. And that's why I suppose this is where you started the newspaper.
No, the centre of Australia.
This is the centre of Australia. This is the heart of the outback, and that's good. So it should be, everyone should come out and have a look at Batuta.
Now, you've got a few yarns about the old publican, Ziggy, you were telling me last night. Do you want to tell Errol that yarn about how you finally won Ziggy over?
Oh,
yeah.
Ziggy?
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is quite a few years ago when he's here in the pub here, and I was coming through, we usually camp at Windora. Then I usually camp here the next night, because those days the roads are pretty rough. And old Joe Geiger, he had the Windora Hotel, and he said, Freddie, he said, have you got any room in your truck? And I said, oh, well, you know, I've got 8 or 9 fighters and we're everywhere. And I said, oh, he said, can you put any beer in there? I said, well, I can fit it. Well, I'll try. Why? He said, well, Ziggy's run out of grog. There's no grog out at the pub. And I said, well, it should be, you know. He said, yeah, well, the truck driver took out some grog yesterday, a truckload of it to deliver it to him. And usually when he gets there, he just goes in and he unloads it, and then Ziggy gives him a stubby of beer. So he got there and Ziggy was out the back somewhere. He was out the back. So he said, oh, well, I'll just have a quick beer. So he's having a beer, and Ziggy come in and seen him drinking a beer. So he got a baseball bat and got into him for drinking the beer, because he was drinking my beer. So he got into him with a baseball bat, and the bloke said, well, I can't get out of here quick enough. He got in his truck with a beer on, and he took back to him, and he said, I'm not going back again. So this is what Joe Geiger told me. I said, well, okay, I'll stop. So we ended up putting about a ton in. But before this, is about 10, 12 years, I've been coming out here, see, and he never used to talk to me. He never used to say hello or nothing. He used to look at me and just charge me what he thought in the bowsers, how much a litre, like, and then another bloke come with a big flash car, he'd charge him 10 cents a litre more. And another bloke that was with him would come in and say, you only charged him, you know, a dollar a litre. He said, and you're charging me a dollar 10 a litre. He said, you want the fuel or not? I'll take it back. And then he charged me 85 cents a litre. All depends who you were and how much money he had. So if you had a flash car, mate, you got accordingly, which is fair enough, you got charged more for your fuel.
You wouldn't even serve government vehicles.
Oh, government people, that was just skyrocketed. Yeah, if you was a government man, oh, they're straight away. Police, the police wouldn't stop here because that was just over the hill,
yeah.
See? Anyway, so anyway, he said, I pulled up here and there was all these cars waiting to get some grog and there was no grog in the pump. Anyway, I pulled up out the front and they're all out there and I've walked in and I said, Ziggy, I've got something for you. And he said, what? I said, I've got some beer. Oh, you got some beer for me? I said, from Joe Geiger, from Wendora. Oh, good, bring it in here. So we formed a chain and we brought it in into the middle of the pub there and we put a pallet laid, and that was a lot of beer on my truck, believe me. But there was just cartons everywhere. Put them everywhere, you could, you know, in between the swags. And he loaded them up. And he said, oh, Fred, he said, I will buy you a beer. So he gave me a hot beer out of the... He said, you're a good person now. I talk to you. And good enough, so I had a beer with him. It was a 4X, as a matter of fact, like this one here. That was every one in those days.
Yeah, the old steel can.
And then from then on, every time I'd come through, he'd say, hello, friend. He'd be serving him. We'd stop everyone, come over and buy me a beer. And I had all my little kids there, and he'd give them an orange off the tree and all that. And he talked to me ever since, yeah.
So the moral of the story is, wait till he offers you one. Don't grab one yourself.
Don't grab one, no, because it wouldn't make
it. Get up with a cricket bat.
Or a baseball bat. Yeah. So, that's the story. But he's a great old bloke, old Ziggy, and I liked him. But it took a long time before he talked to you, you know. Yeah.
I've heard on the grapevine that they might be making a movie about your life, Fred.
Well, that's pretty right, as a matter of fact. Yes, well, the last good comedy was Paul Hogan.
Yep.
And there hasn't been one since. So I reckon this one will be very, very funny.
Do you know who will be playing you?
Most probably me.
Yeah?
No, I don't think it'll be me, but it'll be someone else.
Vince Colosimo.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. It could be anyone. It could be the Masked Marvel. Could be anyone at all. But it will be funny because, let's face it, it's real funny.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the real thing. This is not make-believe. In that book, mate, this is real. There's a lot of stuff in that book that'll be in the second book that they didn't put in the book because of me.
Your lawyer.
Barrister told me not to. But I said, let it go. Let it go.
Yep.
He's going to let it go, this one. This is just no arm barred. Everything's in it. And there'll be a lot of important people in it too.
Yep.
I mean, really important people in it.
So how long until the book's out?
Well, I'd say next year. By Father's Day.
Righto.
Yep.
So years.
So, but it's rated R. You couldn't, you know, the kids couldn't read it enough.
Yeah.
You
know. Yeah.
Black label.
This one is real super black.
Yeah, right. Now tell us quickly, has there been anyone that's jumped into your ring that you recognise later in life elsewhere, maybe politicians or sports stars?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, there's a politician that gets into my ring every now and then.
Robbie Catter?
No, not Robbie Catter. The card girl, Pauline Hanson.
Right.
She's a great person.
Yeah.
And she's great, you know, holding the cards up.
Right.
And actually she's very well liked out in this back country because I like her because she does what she says she's going to do.
Has Bob ever gotten back in? Has he ever gotten into the tent?
No, but he could handle himself.
I imagine he could.
He could handle himself, yeah. He might have had a fight in the old man's tent, I think.
Yeah.
In the old days, because all the young blokes did, you know.
Yeah.
So, But all those, I mean, it was a part of growing up, you know, in those days. It was before all these phones.
Mm-hmm.
All you see is people on the phones all the time. Even in the bus stops, even the restaurants are on the phone.
Mm.
And they're even ordering on the phone.
Yep.
Well, we never had those in the old days. And everyone actually talked to each other. That was a big difference in those days. And when you went to school, you learned how to box.
You reckon we could organise an app, the Fred Brophy app, where you can order a fight to your door?
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. Now, I reckon I've got some t-shirts getting made, actually. Yep. I was supposed to be made for this for here now.
Yep.
Because I'm a great believer of stopping crime.
Yep.
And it'll just, on my T-shirts, it'll be just Fred Brophy's boxing tent. Stop crime, bring back the biff.
Yeah, right.
That's what it's going to be.
Do you reckon?
In the old days, you know, yeah. I remember in the old days, I need a haircut, the local sergeant would pull you over and give you a kick up the arse and tell you to get out or get a haircut. He was allowed to do it in those days, but there wasn't the crime like there is now.
Yeah.
There wasn't ice around, there wasn't marijuana around, all that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And you respected the local copper in those days.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah. Steph, everyone out here is a good egg. Steph, he's a local copper. He seems to have a pretty good grip on it.
Oh, he's a good... They're all good coppers out here, you know, just logical, good coppers, and they're respected. In the city, well, you know, okay, well, if they're there in the city, they do what the city people do, but out here it's a bit different.
Peter Dutton? It's copper.
Peter Dutton, well, anyway, he didn't go as good as he was going to do. But
he's
anyway,
a baked potato now.
Anyway, I don't know. I like Pauline Hanson and that and Bob Catter and Robbie Catter. The rest of them I wouldn't give you 5 cents for.
Have you had any footy players jump in the tent?
Yes, Jack. We've had a few, haven't we? Footy players. Who was that bloke out at Mount Isa that jumped in, that bloody footy player? He was a good old player, wasn't he? A good fighter too. Last year out at Mount Isa, that footy player. Billy Johnson.
Yeah, right.
Billy Johnson.
Billy Johnson came out and had a fight last year at Mount Isa. He could fight all right too, and he could play football. But I mean, it's just on their tick list, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you win or lose, it's irrelevant. We're not there to hurt anyone. We're there to put a good show on. But the harder you are, the harder we are. Mm. You know.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, my blokes can't fight, but they make it hard for the blokes that can.
Yeah.
And what would you ever? Do you ever pick someone up if someone's just surprised you walked out of the crowd and said, "Do you want a job?" Has it ever worked like that?
Plenty of times.
Yeah?
Plenty of times. There's one there, but he's retired now, the bloke with the beard there. I found him under the bridge hitchhiking.
Yeah, right.
I was going to the camel wheel races, as a matter of fact. That was years ago, but they all come back. You know, they all go and they all come back. Yeah.
Well, the book's out next Father's Day?
Yeah.
We hope so, yeah.
Next Father's Day. Yeah. And from here it's Birdsville.
From here it's Birdsville. And it looks like the weather's going to be beautiful this year, and it's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to reading your next newspaper, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, no, we'll get it up there. Yeah. Get up there. Fred Brophy, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Fred.
And thank you very much, Australia. And I am running something for everyone that owns it. I'm just a figurehead. It belongs to everyone in Australia. Good luck.
That was Fred Brophy, one of the many iconic Outback identities to come through town over the weekend, as well as the 700 or so that were out there at the racetrack on the day. He's got a book out now, The Last Showman. There's plenty of docos about him if you're interested in the dark arts of tent boxing.
And that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in to the Batuta Advocate podcast. Remember to book tickets to our upcoming live tour if you'd like to see the two of us on stage. We'll be talking about the trials and tribulations of running such a powerful regional newspaper. And you can find tickets at www.batutaadvocate.com/roadshow. Until next time, I'm Clancy Overall. Please, for the love of God, be kind to each other.
And my name is Errol Parker. Please stay out of the pokies and do not talk to the police without legal counsel present.